Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with a very special lady in my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and you are very special to me as well. And may the peace of Jesus, who is the most special in all our lives, be with you all. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, we do praise you and exalt you as our El Shaddai, and will not be afraid of the world's evil tidings, but rather remain steadfast, trusting you in all our ways. Excitement fills our hearts with the knowledge of our soon resurrection and the opening of your gates. We use this special season of repentance to acclaim a deeper walk with you. And may all our unsaved loved ones realize the urgency for repentance as well, and accept your free gift of salvation. Bless your bride, heal the sick, and comfort the lowly as we anxiously await for your shofar call. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we have a special announcement.
Yes, we had a little technical problem. If you were listening on the WHKW internet web last week, there was a technical problem where our program was cut off. If that should ever happen again, remember the uncensored program in its entirety is on our webpage, shofarministries.net, usually within a day. Also, for the next two Tuesdays, we will be on a stay vacation I call the three R's.
Rest, relaxation, and reading with lots of Bible studying.
Yeah. But the station will replay two past programs about the Pope, the Jesuits, and believe it or not, some are still thinking a Muslim will be the Antichrist, so we address that as well.
And also the Daniel 9 prophecy.
Yes.
So, what's the latest with Israel?
Well, Israel says they will make Iran pay for the deadly attack of mini drones that hit their Mercer Street ship near the shores of Oman, killing two people. And Israel has begun giving booster shots to their elderly and is the first in the world to begin to give the jab to the 5 to 11-year-olds, starting with those who have serious ailments or overweight.
That truly saddens my heart.
Mm-hmm. They, like many, are worried by the rising cases of the Delta variant. For the first time since April, more than 2,000 new cases were reported, 138 in serious condition, of whom 25 were on ventilators. Four deaths were counted in 48 hours, and just one of them was an unvaccinated pregnant woman who died in the hospital.
Not much talk about the three who died who were vaccinated.
No surprise there, because they keep saying if vaccinated, your symptoms are minimal. But also, 25 are on ventilators, and that's not minimal. So there's a lot of lying going on all over. At least Israel is giving out the what we think is the true data, where we definitely are not. So as we thought all along, since the start of this plandemic, that the PCR testing was faulty. And now the CDC admits that people who might have just had the flu resulted in a COVID positive diagnosis.
Which is why the flu rates plummeted this last flu season.
Yeah, right. We all had suspicions. And some also say that the tips of those swabs could easily and intentionally be contaminated. And as well, the cycle thresholds, or the spinning of the PCR tests, well, apparently they've been way off. So these elite experts also know the PCR test could not withstand any reasonable scientific scrutiny. Therefore, they are now trying to cover their tracks.
Why now?
Well, because the lawsuits have begun. Obviously, so many have had to be in on all this. It's amazing.
Therefore, complicit in this huge crime of humanity.
Therefore, it really is unlawful to quarantine when based solely on the PCR test. But they will continue until it is officially off the market, which is really not until December. So to give all the labs time to initiate another test that we are sure will have to be much more reliable.
You're right. this is all about control on a very high scale.
Actually, and I know you agree with me, it's a global cult.
Yes, where they coerce people to just say, okay, whatever you say.
You know, there is a book by Stephen Hassan called Freedom of Mind, where he outlines the different cults and what they demand of their followers. See if this doesn't sound familiar. First off, all cult leaders want to control you. But there are actually four different categories. There's the religious, there's the therapeutic groups.
As in self-awareness training, etc.
Commercial, as in the recruiting pyramid groups for wealth and power, and other establishments too, especially in Silicon Valley.
But then there's the political.
Yes, and that's our focus tonight because, number one, it's dictatorial, who will stifle critics and dissidents in any way possible.
Number two, must control the press.
Which the globalists do. Number three, must prevent free assembly, as they did even to the churches during the lockdown.
That they will try to do once again if we let them.
Oh, yeah. Number four in the political cult is to conduct fraudulent elections.
Yes, the Soviet Union would be just one example of a political cult.
And terrorist groups are usually political and will kill people and even be a suicide bomber for the cause.
But here's what clinched it.
Yes. They want their followers to wear a certain identifying piece of clothing. You know, as in the Mormons, both men and women must wear a certain type of white underwear.
So we have the mask.
Right. And one more thing. At the Freemason rituals, as the globalists are, they are not just masked, but must stand 6 feet apart. So, we have the workings of cult masters right in front of our covered-up noses.
Why stand 6 feet apart?
That's the number of man, and the masks are to cover up God's creation. And we don't even have time to address the global royal bloodlines whose descendants just keep on coming.
Yes, but not for much longer.
Right, for we know the end of the story. Okay, we are seeing now that the so-called vaccines are not protecting the vaccinated after all.
Yeah, they claim it's the variant Delta from India.
And it may well be, but we said last year that these inoculations will mess with your natural immune system to probably protect you from a serious COVID-19 sickness, but little else. Any variant can infect you, as well as a different virus, which they have already said will soon be arriving.
So, therefore, many booster shots will be forthcoming.
Right. As we said, you know, they would have to combat these variants. Well, all along, and the main reason for these shots, besides to depopulate, is to get enough of the nanoparticles of graphene oxide into your body, because at some point, with the help of 5G, they will be able to track your every move.
Like they can see into your cell phone and track your every move.
Right. But when one realizes what's going on, you can always throw away your cell phone, but not your body, or even deprogram yourself. As of right now, it is not the mark of the beast yet, because you would also have to sell your soul and worship the beast, and of course that won't happen till the tribulation, and we're not in it yet. Right now, they are in the first stages of implementation. And you know, just this morning I read where Elon Musk has just received approval from the FDA to test brain chip implants. It's so amazing to see this all come together, as prophesied. In the meantime, we are the experiment, or the guinea pigs, and I'm sure their top thoughts are, how do we get rid of the dissidents?
Like you and me.
But soon, they won't have to, because we'll be gone.
And they'll be glad.
For a while.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back often within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all our past radio and teaching newsletters.
Okay. Well, we began last week teaching of Teshuvah, the 40-day season of repentance. In the first 30 days, which is heralded in with the blowing of the shofar each day, comes just prior to Rosh Hashanah and the possible resurrection, or rapture if you're still alive, some year. Hopefully soon, due to the many accumulative signs. You know, when the Hebrews saw that the resurrection of the righteous did not occur, as so far it obviously has not, after their two-day feast of Rosh Hashanah on Tishri 1 and 2, you go into the following last seven of the 40 days, and that's called the High Holy Days, or the Days of Awe.
Which is also a picture of the seven-year tribulation.
In a way, yes. Because if no repentance of not serving the real God by Yom Kippur on Tishri 10, their name is removed from the Book of Life.
Again, a type of the tribulation.
Right. Because if one hasn't accepted the real Messiah by the end of the 7 years, which we believe also closes on a Yom Kippur, their name will not be in the Book of Life. Therefore, will not enter the New Kingdom. You know, it's really an eye-opener to see how God set this all up so precisely so we could learn from our Jewish roots. Therefore, have a better knowledge of what to expect and the dates involved as he fulfills all the feasts, his appointments made way back in Leviticus 23, and how the feasts still play a big role in humanity, which is why, since much of this knowledge was lost to the churches during the Dark Ages, we love to rekindle to Christians their basic first century Hebraic roots, never for legalism, but in the freedom attained by Jesus by his fulfillment.
But so many still don't care to hear about it.
I know, but some do, and improving in these last days, and why we must push forward.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. By the way, don't tell me the Hebraic roots message is not in the New Testament, when in fact the entire writing of John's Gospel is surrounded by all the seven feasts. After all, the New Testament was penned by Jews and led by the Holy Spirit. So here are a few examples of when God actually did chastise his people more during this particular season. Basically, to return to him as a first love would be, as in a warning to repent for their waning.
As in the book of Haggai.
Yes. You know, immediately in chapter 1, he informs us it was in the sixth month, which is always Teshuvah,
the Hebrew month of Elul.
We see that God not only rebukes the Hebrews for their neglect in building God's temple, but even more than that, we see some details about the condition of their hearts, where their cares of their own lives were being front and center.
Instead of God.
Whoa, does that apply today?
Laodicean lazy Christians.
Not socially, of course. They attend all the parties. But the condition of their hearts.
Lacking any passion to know Jesus more.
Through his word, being spiritually content to stay just as is, lacking desire to grow spiritually. So do you know anyone like that?
Yes, unfortunately.
So during Teshuvah, the season of repentance, God tells them through Haggai in verse 5, and then repeats it again in verse 7, to
consider your ways.
Mm-hmm. You know, their houses were well done, but not God's house. So they had better get busy in doing what God requires, or he will withhold the rain. Verse 11. Wow, I think of California's droughts and all the fires, and now Turkey is experiencing terrible fires as well. And the poor farmers with the high cost of paying crop pollinators because the bees are so scarce.
Well, now, you know, they have robotic bees.
I did hear that. Like little drones running around.
Yeah. Another example would be Jonah.
For sure. We know God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to seek their repentance, and because of the specific verbiage used in chapter 3, we can know it was during Teshuvah, especially since he gave them 40 days to repent.
Well, you know, also in Daniel 5.
Yes, the account of Babylon's handwriting on the wall. And thanks to historical records, we know that date was on October 7th. So it could have easily been near the end of Teshuvah, probably on the 40th day on Yom Kippur, which, by the way, often falls in October, depending on the year. But this year it's early, in September, on the 16th.
But actually begins at sundown on the 15th.
Yes, and that's important to know if you are fasting.
Another would be Moses.
Oh, yeah, and this is really good, because Teshuvah corresponds to the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai the second time, repenting to God for Israel's golden calf incident, then returning on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets. And we'll address this again next month when we delve deeply into Yom Kippur.
And Jesus also took Teshuvah very seriously.
Yes, and by connecting the dots, we can see that when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming for all to repent. It makes sense to those who study this that it was the first day of Teshuvah, for Jesus went directly into the wilderness for 40 days, not for himself, but like Moses, he prayed that others would repent. And he also prepared for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, which would be just 5 days after Yom Kippur, which is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
It was biblical Jewish law that a man should not enter his ministry until he was 30.
Right, confirmed in Numbers 4 and 2 Samuel 5. And Jesus scrupulously adhered to that, so we could benefit by that knowledge of our Hebraic roots.
Well, you know, it also helps complete the puzzle.
Yes, each piece plays a part and therefore must fit. Never lose sight that everything has been purposely prearranged and set up by God. He is very exact and precise in everything he has set forth to happen for our learning today. You know, Paul said in Romans 15:4,
whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Right, and that word for hope is elpis, and it actually means confidence. Think about that we will have confidence. And as it applies to the church, to all of us.
Well, you know, another example is Ezekiel 8.
Yes. Once again, God makes sure that we know that it's the sixth month when Ezekiel is shown Israel's idolatry in the temple, along with all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders, hiding in the dark like God couldn't see them. God says, I will now act in my fury. So in chapter 9, during Teshuvah, the wicked are slain.
But not the righteous who had a seal of protection.
Right. This is a picture of what will happen in Revelation, where the sealed ones in chapter 7 represent the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel that receive salvation right after the rapture and are then marked for divine protection just before the seal judgments of Revelation 6 are opened and the four horsemen arrive. So, Ezekiel 8 and 9 is a great read for typology. The Old Testament is full of these prophetic pictures that God expects us to search for. That is why he put them there. Proverbs 25, 2. And what is amazing is that these are all true events that actually happened for our learning. Now imagine the Hebrew month of Elul, which begins at sundown on Sunday, as the final preparation month just before your wedding, which some year it will be to Jesus. Except this preparation is not physical and material in nature, but rather spiritual. Desiring a closer relationship to your soon beloved husband. That's what it's all about. Now, here's a gold nugget. The Hebrew letters for Elul is Aleph, Lamad, Vav, and Lamad. It is an acronym for the words Ani Ladoti Vidoti Li from the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3, which translates, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Also, on a really good note, according to traditional Jewish thought, this month of Elul can also be a time when God's people find particular favor with him, often due to judgment upon their enemies. As we read in Nehemiah 6, check it out. So it can be a time for reprimanding his people or a time to punish their enemies. And it is interesting, when looking back at history, many significant events do happen in August and September, as in 9/11. And during Teshuvah, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 is often quoted. Listen carefully. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him teshuvah to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is why they daily blow the shofar during Teshuvah. It's a wake-up call to be alert. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 says this, Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. So how do we become wise? The Word, and only a fool hates wisdom. Proverbs 4. Oh my, so let me ask you, where are you? How about your walk? Do you know him but are comfortable staying where you are and not growing closer to him? Is it time for you to repent for not being more passionate for Christ? Or maybe you have never really made him Lord over your life or even accepted his free gift of salvation. Repent now. Don't wait any longer. He died for you, and actually, to be blunt, he went through hell for you, and that's just so that you won't have to. Everyone has to pay the debt. Either you do it personally, or you can accept Jesus' free gift, who paid your debt for sin, again, so you won't have to. Don't be a fool. Do it now. We want to leave you, of course, as we always do, with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, verse 22 and on. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in ways you'll never even realize. Psalm 122, verse 6. Okay, we'll see you in a couple weeks, and we will be teaching on the fall feast starting August 24th. So be sure to tell a friend and tell someone about Jesus. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.